All right, we got the handouts here. We are back in Proverbs again. So that's no surprise. We've been here for quite a while. We're in lesson 9. We're looking at relationships. Okay, what Proverbs says about relationships. And just so you know, this will be the last week on relationships. This is the longest we've been on any one subject. And so we will finish it up. I'm certain of that tonight. So we've mentioned many, many times, relationships are great, and relationships make life special, make life worth living, to be honest with you. First, our relationship with God, but after that is our relationship with others, and there's no way to get around it. We interact with each other on regular basis, whether it's the people that live in our own home or people that we work with, we have to spend quite a bit of time with, or just those we come in contact with. And so if we follow God's principles, things go better. Yes, sir. When we violate God's principles, things don't go better, okay? And so that's what we've been looking at. And we never can say this, well, you know what? My relationship with God is all that's important. I could care less about people, okay? As long as I'm good with God, you know, I don't need other people. Well, you might want to read your Bible. The Bible tells us, of course, we're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love others. So there's no out option unless you're one of these people that moves in the middle of nowhere. These people that prep for like the end times and they're going to live in the desert in some hole in the ground. Maybe you can survive then. So let's get back at it. Last time, and I'll just read them to you, which was, I believe, a couple weeks ago. We went through 17, 18, and 19, which is be open to the advice and rebuke of people who are close to you. Number 18, be sensitive to people's emotions and times of life. And number 19, be careful about being quick to start a conflict. Now, let's get with some new ones here. The last one we started, verse 19, be careful about being quick to start a conflict. Several verses in a row that kind of are together, and so we'll get the principles for them. Number 20. Deal with relationship issues directly with the individual that you have the issue with. Deal with relationship issues directly with the individual that you have the issue with. Proverbs 25 and verse 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. If you have a conflict with somebody, here they mention a neighbor, someone close to you, it is far better to deal directly with them about it than to take it to somebody else, talk about it to somebody else, or get others involved. Never get another involved where they don't need to be. I heard a story about a man. He was walking down the street with some of his friends, and his friends asked him about a juicy bit of gossip. They wanted to talk about a juicy bit of gossip. He said to them, "Can you keep a secret?" They said, "Sure we can." He replied, "So can I." And he refused to tell them what they wanted to know. Most people can't keep a secret. We hear something, we are dying to tell somebody else. Now, I understand it's because we love people and it's a prayer request. That's all it is. You know, hey, so-and-so's struggling. Let's pray for them. Well, what's wrong with them? You didn't hear? Well, let me tell you what's good. Pray with me. I have this situation in my life with somebody. Okay, we'll pray. Yeah, and then we want to tell them all about it, and it causes a lot of trouble. Solomon's advice to us when we're in a conflict is go directly to the individual and try to resolve it. Yes, by the way, that's just the Bible principle. Most conflicts we have with each other, or most situations, if we would just both, if the both parties would just go to each other and talk about it, it could pretty quickly be resolved. Most of them. But see, that's not how we act. We want to get all these people involved, and it causes a lot of trouble. The more people you involve, the more it enlarges the problem. Think about how Joseph handled the problem with his brothers when they came into Egypt. He didn't tell his guards and everything what was going on. okay? He didn't say, these are my brothers. Let me tell you what we did. We're going to play a joke on them. Now, you know, Joseph was very forgiving. I do like the fact that he kind of, you know, and this is my flesh, that he kind of, you know, You know, one of them was in jail for a little bit. I wonder if that was the one that caused him the most problems. But he didn't get everybody involved. And even when he finally broke down and he was gonna tell his brothers who he was, the Bible says he sent everybody away. Just all of them were out of the room, and he revealed himself to his brothers, and what a shock his brothers had. That's right there in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 1 in your notes. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Okay? They just didn't need to know. It was none of their business. And so he didn't tell them about it. Now, I don't know if these are in your notes. Getting others involved does certain things. I think there's a couple points at the bottom here before we leave this point. First of all, getting others involved doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't. If I have a problem with, who can I pick on? Tony. Cowboy fan. Needs Jesus, amen? If I have a problem with Tony, getting Brother Montgomery involved surely isn't going to help. How is that going to solve the problem? Okay, it has nothing to do with Brother Montgomery, unless it's we need some facts about the Civil War, because Jerry was there. Okay, no, it doesn't help at all. It's not going to solve the problem. I need to go to Tony, and we need to talk it out as Christians. It, by the way. Not only does it not solve the problem, it complicates the problem because now it's Tony and I, and now it's Jerry, and you know, Jerry's going to tell Linda, and then everybody's going to know. Now there's all these people involved, and it's like, this problem is now bigger. It's worse. Let's not do that. Next, it creates problems for others. Others become, now people that had no idea, now they're getting involved, and now we've got sides, and we're picking teams, and now I brought a problem to them. That was none of their, they didn't need to know what was going on. But that's how we are. It's like bringing your family members into a problem in your marriage or in your immediate family. Okay? That causes issues. If I have, you know, if my wife and I and our children, what we have, we're going to deal with it. I don't need to call. Well, I can't call. My family wouldn't care. They'd be on my wife's side, so I couldn't call them in the first place. Now, I guarantee if my wife called my mother-in-law, she would be on my side because I've paid her off handsomely. But it doesn't help, okay? It's just creating more tension. And so it just creates problems for others, and everybody gets involved, and now it's a big, huge problem. And now other people are in the line of fire that shouldn't have been. Next, and this is huge. We need to understand this as Christian. It damages the name of Christ. When Christians can't get their problems solved, if unbelievers find out, it makes Jesus look really bad. You know, I worked at a place I've mentioned many times before. In the early days of the church, I was working at a warehouse, and there was several of us there. We told everybody we were Christians. We were trying to be a witness. And two of the guys who were Christians almost got in a fist fight in one of the aisles. And I wasn't there, but look, every guy that wasn't saved came by. Now, they called us the Hallelujahs. That was the nickname they gave the Christians. And one of the guys came over and said, hey, your Hallelujah brothers are about ready to start a fight over in aisle 5. I'm like, great, that's just what we needed. Okay, and now, you know, we've been trying to witness these guys. We've been trying to be a Christian testimony, and two of them are over there, and they're about ready to get in a fist fight. So I ran over there real quick. I didn't want to miss the fight just in case it did break out. Like, never one to miss a good fight. It just wasn't right. And then the last thing is getting others involved. By the way, sometimes it's better just to suffer loss than it is to go at it. And that's a story for you. Yeah. And the last little bullet there, it just isn't Christian. That is not God's way of taking care of situations. What did he say? What did Jesus say? If you're bringing your gift to the altar and you have aught against your brother, what did he say to do? Leave your gift at the altar. Now, he didn't say take it home and don't give the gift, okay? Leave it at the altar. We'll take care of it for you. And go and make things right with your brother. You've got to make it right, okay? Well, you know, they're not being very Christian or very spiritual about it. Okay, then why don't you be the Christian one? Now, sometimes you try that, and the person just doesn't want to, and it doesn't work. But at least you can look in the mirror and say, I have done everything I can to try to get this right. I have tried to do this the right way, and if they want to bring others involved, you be the Christian. You let it go, okay? But let's be a Christian about it. The mature Christian ought to be the one that's getting the job done. Number 21. Don't let your disputes or conflicts go public or be in public, as that causes a damaged reputation. Verse 10, continuing on in Proverbs 25. Don't let your disputes or conflicts go public or be in public, as that causes a damaged reputation. Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. Shame carries the meaning of being disgraced. People are hearing this. They have nothing to do with it. Now you're being disgraced. Some are going to hear about it, and they're like, that's not the way you got to handle it. You're not being very good about it. The whole nine yards. We may violate the last verse and get some people to our side, but ultimately, they see how you handle conflicts, you'll be disgraced. By the way, if I see a conflict between two people and they're trying to bring me into it, you know what that makes me think? What would that make me think? If they have a situation with me, they're going to go try to get other people involved in it. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Okay? Disgraced. With the internet and social media, it is so it's way easier than ever to get others involved in our problems. And by the way, everybody has an opinion. You can't even go to a blog and read an article at the bottom. Everybody has their comments. You know, this, that, it's like, really? And no matter what you say, someone's going to, even if you're not trying to cause problems, people are going to take it the wrong way. Just the wrong way. And because we have to put in our two cents worth. But when we're bringing up problems, that just makes it a lot worse. Everything you put out there in social media is public, and to be honest with you, it can be permanent for everybody to see. You can delete it later. You could even delete it later, but those that read it, they're always going to remember it. Let's be very careful. It doesn't do any good for anybody to take your disputes public. You know, veiled little shots, a little Instagram picture with a little shot at somebody. Why? You know, because you had a conflict or something that you didn't like and you got to have your way and I'm right. It's just nonsense. Let's be very careful. Since we're talking about social media, it causes a lot of problems. And we can use it in negative way. Let me give you a few traps to avoid. These are in your notes. Okay, and here's why we do this kind of stuff, to be real honest with you. Couple thoughts. First, don't focus on self. We focus way too much on ourselves. We do. It's a fight. And social media doesn't make us who we are. Social media reveals who we are. Okay? If you want to know if you're selfish or not selfish, okay, that's strong. I'll be nice. Self-centered, go to your Instagram feed and you know you can pull up all your little pictures. See how many of them are you. Here is me in a Snickers bar. Listen, I don't want to see you. Now, I want to see the Snickers bar. I can care less about you. Here's me and my dog. Here's me in this. Here's me. You know what the common denominator is? Me. Okay? Now, if you take a picture with somebody, okay, that's wonderful. But everything's, what was one of the Jesus marks a disciple or requirements of a disciple? Wasn't it that we, what was that? Deny ourselves. We all have to deny ourselves because we're totally into ourselves. So social media, if we're not careful, can allow us to focus on ourselves. And that's why we take stuff public. We want to prove that we're right and they're wrong, because after all, I'm always right. Next, don't brag. This is akin to self. It's lifting up ourselves. By the way, we are always better than we think we are. I mean, we always think we're better. You stink. Just kidding. We always think we're better than we are. That's it right there. We always think we're better than we are. And if someone's not telling us, we'll just tell everybody for them, right? Look at the biblical principle here in Proverbs. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine own lips. It's better to have, look, if someone else wants, and by the way, if someone wants to say something nice about you, it's better that that goes that way. Now, like we say, don't read your own press clippings. Don't start believing all of it. Hell, I am a pretty good guy. Okay? No, thank them for being kind. Thank them for the compliment. And, if someone else has helped, defer some of that. We make it all about us. In our class, Sunday school class, we were talking a little bit about humility, and someone told me about this. There was a guy, he had his first date with this girl, and they had never met each other. They were kind of set up, and they're going out. And so for the first 15 minutes, all he did was talk to this girl about himself. And finally, he caught himself. He goes, I'm sorry. I spent all this time talking about me, and that's not fair. It's your turn. What do you have to say about me? Okay, that's how we are, right? It's all about us. Don't brag. Next, on social media, our friend. Gossip. Don't brag and gossip. Gossip. We don't need, look, everybody doesn't need to know everything about everybody. Well, I just want to know. Deal with it. What was it? What was it? Inquiring minds want to know. No, carnal minds want to know. Say, how do you know that? Because I want to know. You know, what's going on? None of your business. Has nothing to do with you. If you need to know, you'll know. If you don't need to know, you don't need to know. You know, sometimes people think that when I talk to people in the church or council, I go home and tell my wife everything. I don't tell her anything. Why? Because the whole church will know. Just kidding. Okay. Just kidding. You say, why don't you tell your wife? Let me say this kindly. It's none of her business. Unless it involves her. And the only reason it involves me is because people want to come to me and they're asking about something. Okay? Why do we have to tell everybody everything? And by the way, and then we formulate opinions and say things that are crazy. Well, you know, so-and-so, they're going this direction or doing that. How do you know that for sure? Have you checked it out? See, we're not really good at doing fact-checking, right? Sometimes I like to check the facts. Sometimes I'll hear a really good story or illustration, and inquisitive minds want to know. I'll just check the internet. By the way, I love how many of you ever heard the little thing, Message to Garcia? It's a little story about... And the lady who wrote it, everything she wrote in there about the character level of people is right. She got the story wrong. She said that during the Spanish-Cuban War or something, in the early 1900s, there was a guy, the president needed to get a message to a guy named Garcia. And all he knew was the guy's name was Garcia, knew nothing else. And the story goes that he got this man and said, go into the jungles where the war is going, find a guy named Garcia and get the message to him. And this guy had, all he knew was the guy's name was Garcia, didn't have any clue where he was. The guy takes off on a ship, 6 months later comes back and says, I found him. That's a great story. That's not how it happened. I read the book by the guy that found Garcia. First of all, he wasn't taking the message to Garcia. He was going to Garcia to get a message. Second of all, they dropped him on the island. There were people that took him to Garcia. Now, it was very dangerous, don't get me wrong. And the story that the lady gives, the principle she gives is true. The story's just not right. We hear, and by the way, that's how gossip is. we hear things and we think it's right and it's absolutely true, and we kind of do some facts. First of all, don't listen, okay? Look, when someone says something about somebody, first thing you ought to do is defend them. Are you sure? I think you're misunderstood. Now, don't listen, but sometimes people blurt stuff out and say, I think you're misunderstand. They don't hate you. Now, there's 20 other people that do, but that's the one person that doesn't, okay? Just help them. Let's be careful about gossip. It's amazing what people will say when they're cloaked behind a computer. It was a preschool teacher that got killed. She got fired because she had a friend that was going to Israel, and she put on her social media, hey, when you're over there, kill a few Jews for me. And then she said the problem with the Holocaust was they didn't kill enough people. Wow. Now, why would she be that? Because we're hiding behind a computer and a type board, and it's going to come back to get you, so don't do that. And also, we'll hurry with this, use the acronym THINK before you post something on social media. What does THINK mean? T, is it true? We already just talked about that. By the way, our society and our media, which is very biased, that's why I don't watch the news. I'm very careful who I listen to, because it's all a bunch of junk, it's all a bunch of garbage, and it's all a bunch of lies, and it's all a bunch of immorality, pushing the immoral, so it's all garbage. Now, they'll come out and say things, but they won't come back and tell you if the story they told you is wrong. Right? Many years ago, probably about 10 years ago, there was a Duke lacrosse team, and they were accused of gang raping this lady. Three of them got arrested for it. One of the big newspapers back east, on the front page, the lady put out a headline saying, and it was very popular at the time, she said, it was an open letter to the lacrosse team. She says, we know, you know, and we know that you know. And basically, in an article, she said, you need to come clean and tell the truth. And just condemned them. Coach got fired. They shut down the team. Come to find out that the lady lied. She was trying to cover herself because she left her kids alone. The district attorney who was up for re-election lied and got nailed in court. They didn't do anything. Now, I'll give that lady credit. She actually came back and wrote front page apology to the players for jumping to a conclusion. People don't do that. We throw stuff out there about people, and it's not true, and we don't come back later and say, oh, we were wrong, and you ruin people's reputation. Yep. H, is it helpful? If it's not helpful, don't do it. And again, people get on there and say all kinds of mean-spirited. I was reading an article, and a guy was talking about a doctrinal, it was a blog, a guy was talking about a doctrinal issue, and he had a disagreement with somebody, and then I don't read these all the time, but I saw the comments, and I'm looking, and they're just being mean-spirited and calling the people they disagree with idiots and fat and all these things. I'm like, that's just not even right, but that's how we are now. We get behind a computer screen, and we'll say things and throw stuff at people, and it's not helpful at all. Letter I, is it inspiring? Is it going to encourage somebody? Now, I know sometimes we get inspired by a kick in the rear, and we need a kick in the rear, okay? But is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? Did we really need to post that? Did we really need to throw that out there? You say, I found a good ice cream spot. Throw that out there. We need to know, okay? But we throw all kinds of weird things. And then K, is it kind? We just live in a mean society nowadays. We must hurry. Number 22, if we think through our response before we give it, we can respond correctly and fix or avoid a conflict. If we think through our response before we give it, we can respond correctly and fix or avoid a conflict. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, what does fitly mean? Fitly means, and it's kind of weird, it means it's like a wheel or revolving. The idea is we think through that what we say smoothly goes with what's going on. We're thinking through so that what we're saying is right and it fits the situation. We're not like that. We are emotional people. We just throw it out there. The analogy of apples of gold and pictures of silver, it's maybe that of an artful or beautiful framed picture or decoration of some sort. So when we think through and we use the right words, It's making things better. But when we don't think, you know, what did Brother Grandy say Sunday night? Stop your stinking thinking. Okay. Remember the, what was the old commercial? Think before you drink. First of all, that's dumb. And that's the kindest word I can say. If you drink alcohol, you can't think. The first thing alcohol does is impair your thinking. Okay, so think before you drink. It's dumb. If you think before you drink, you won't drink. But anyhow, but think before you speak. Okay, most of us don't. We throw stuff out there. And it's like, why did I say that? I don't even believe that. Okay, I didn't mean that. I know. We just got to think it through. It helps the situation. The point is, an appropriate word can be invaluable. And an inappropriate word can totally derail the conversation and can totally derail the relationship. Let's be experts on saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. Wisdom assesses a situation and says what needs to be said the way that needs to be said. Think little thing, right words at the right time, said the right way, hit the right target, and achieve the right results. So think before you speak. That's why we said last time we were together about be careful about certain times when someone's emotional, tired or whatever, don't have a conversation then, because when we're emotional, we're going to have a tendency not to think when we speak because we're being emotional, okay? And sometimes maturity says they said that, but I know they didn't mean it. And they didn't mean it in that way. It's just their emotions talking, so don't take it personally. That's really hard to do. Number 23. We are going to finish. It's going to be great. Number 23, financial issues can destroy relationships and cause pain. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Surety is like co-signing. Assuming somebody else's debt. Okay? And it says, you're snared by the fact that you, with your mouth, because you made that commitment. You said you'd do it. Sign that contract. Such an arrangement is not good. It ends up being a trap or a snare. How many relationships are destroyed by financial issues? We just finished our, Bethany and Adriel got married Saturday. That was our sixth wedding in the last 10 months. And we don't have any more in the docket, so some of y'all need to get busy, okay? So I've been doing premarital counseling for the last year. We always go through the same thing. Major causes of divorce. One of them is finances. Say, money, what's money have to do with it? We're living on love. No, love doesn't pay the rent. Are you with me? And love's not going to pay that credit card off either that you did it forever 21. By the way, you're not forever 21 unless you're talking about your IQ. Okay. All right, I'm trying to be nice here. Let's back up. So finances. We're pressured sometimes into making bad financial decisions, are we not? By people that take advantage. So I'm going to help you avoid that. Let me give you quickly a few things here. The last point's really slow. It's really quick, so don't worry about it. Next, first one, never co-sign for someone unless you are willing to make the payments with no questions asked and with no resentment. Yep. Someone says, can you co-sign for me? If you were like, yes, I'll make those payments. Yes, I'll do that, and I won't even get mad, because 9 times out of 10, that's what's going to happen. Okay? When I was a 10th grader, I wanted to get a moped. Everybody had mopeds, a motorized bicycle. So I went down I was a 10th grader. I had a job, but they wouldn't give it to me on credit. My mom said, I ain't signing for you. But my aunt, she was ignorant. She did. I remember 1 year, $33 a month, 1 year's worth of payments. 3 months in, someone stole it. By the way, I still made the payments. Now, fortunately, 3 months later, the police found it. I got it back. It was never the same after that, okay? But listen, you know, I wouldn't have told her don't do that, but I tell her now not do it, but thank God she did. She was a good lady. But don't co-sign unless you're going to make those payments, because it's not going to end well. Next, never loan money unless you are willing to just give it to them. Okay, can I borrow? No, unless you're going to just give it to them. Say, look, I'm giving it to you. If you want to pay me back later, by the way, be careful even about the fact if you say that, because here's what happens. If Brother Rawl says, can I borrow money? I'm like, look, here's the money. If you want to pay me back, it's up to you. If he doesn't pay me back, every time he sees me, you know what he's going to do? He's going to feel awkward. And he should, because he's a crook. Okay? Pay back. So don't do it. Here's the big thing right here. Never feel pressure to give a loan or cosign for somebody. Here's why we do it. People pressure us. And I just have this thing. If you pressure me, I'm just automatically going to say no. Take this $100 bill now. No. Okay, I'll take it. I'm talking about getting money from me. That's why salesmen are so successful. They, you know, whenever we bought a car, they want to get you in the box and discuss it. It's like, I ain't going to the box. We'll talk about it right here, buddy. I've already talked to 5 other dealers. Here's the price I want, yes or no. Well, let's go sit down. I'll talk to my manager. The air's outside here. Go talk to your manager. I ain't going in there. You're not going to sit me down and put pressure on me. And would you like, your children are beautiful. I don't care if you say they're ugly. Give me a good price. They pressure you, and you don't want that. I remember I had a relative many years ago, and he did something he probably shouldn't have done. He got arrested, and he was nothing serious, but he was going to be in jail over the weekend. And so he calls me with his one call. That was a bad move. He goes, do you own your car? I go, yeah, I actually own it. He goes, I need you to go bail me out. I'm like, no. But I want to get out of here. I'm like, you should have thought of that before you got in. I am not putting my car on the line if you skip your meeting. And by the way, he had skipped meetings before. I'm like, I ain't losing my car. You're not going to, I don't want to be in here all weekend. You should have thought of that before you got arrested. Yeah. Run faster. I'm not doing it. Well, you're a bad relative. Sign me up. And I still own that car. I like John Castle. I like John Castle. Don't make your drama my drama. Just because you want to wait till the last minute and dump it on me, I ain't accepting it.
Come on. That's good.
I should get a different job. Next. So nobody, don't come ask me to co-sign or get a loan or something. I'll buy you dinner. I'll help you if I can, but I'm not loaning you a penny. And if you get arrested, call Brother Board. He used to be a chaplain. All right, next. Be careful about business partnerships. Do you know 2 co-leaders is a recipe for disaster? That's why marriage is so bad. Just kidding. You can't have 2 people. So you're investing all your money and putting your money together. And by the way, when you start a business, there is a risk, right? And if you work hard and you're willing to take the risk, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But you understand when you have a business partner, you're not taking the risk. Your risk is based on what he does too. Okay, business partnerships are not good. Very rarely do they turn out right. Next, don't use your status as a friend to your advantage in a business dealing. You know, hey, I'm selling these special bananas. They're from Canada. They come frozen. You need $200 worth every month. Sign here. No. Don't do that to your friends, okay? Now, if you got something good, you can present it and don't put any pressure, because you're going to strain the relationship with your business. And then last, be generous and helpful. I'm all for that, by the way. But don't let people take advantage of you. You know why you help people? Because they genuinely need it, and so they can get on your feet, not so that you're their new meal ticket. Okay? And sometimes people think that the word church is spelled ATM. I have talked to, they just come to church and like, hey, I know you guys print money here, and I need some. I'm like, first of all, we don't print money here, and you get nothing. Now, if you're starving and you're legitimate, I'll buy you food. But I'm not, there was someone that came one time, I'm starving, I felt bad. So I said, okay, you wait here, I'll get you some food. That's all they wanted. I gave some money and said, go down and buy them some food. When they bought him the food, the person lied to him and said, oh, he told me to tell you to give me the change. Now, fortunately, I didn't listen to him, okay? you know, from the, and like, yeah, we're doing that. Yeah, don't do that. All right. Number 24, we're done. Give me 2 minutes. There are two sides to every story. Proverbs 18, 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. I got my side of the story, and it's just, and I know I'm right. And that's all people listen to. But what happens? But his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. His neighbor comes and says, let's get some details here. Are you, oh, for sure, you're always right. That's how we think, right? We make decisions, we make determinations on people based on what they tell us without hearing all the facts of the story. It's like, I think it was in Snow White, they had a, I haven't watched it, but I heard someone use this illustration. They had a trial, and it was kind of a mockery, and the king says, look, let's get on with it. Give us the verdict. And the queen says, no, let's get the sentence first, and then we'll get the verdict. That's how we are when we listen to a story, only one side. There's two sides to every story. People, the first version of a story is not always accurate. It's not. Because when a person's telling you their side, they're going to be more passionate about it, and they're going to be more right. Reminds me of a time we had these folks many years ago. They were new in our church, and so we invited them over, and they had a couple kids our age. And I think Josiah at the time, good kid, not now he isn't, but he's about 5, and they had a son about 5, and they were in the back room playing, and they both come running over. We had them over our house, you know. Hey, church, come on over. And their little boy says, pointing to Josiah, he hit me. I'm like, great. Josiah points at him and says, he hit me. Right? Now, here's the rest of the story. The little boy said, he hit me first. Josiah said, he hit me back. There you have it. Okay, two sides to every story. Let's pray on that spiritual. Let's pray.